Hello, Gallatin Valley and online listeners. You are listening to KGBM, broadcasting at 95.9 FM and streaming at kgbm.org. I'm Roxana, and this is Desert Oracle Radio Replay. As you can tell, it is raining as I record this. I am so grateful for the rain. I know some of the rainy days can squash some plans for people, but we need it, and there are going to come days that we are wishing it was raining again. Well, I have a recent episode of Desert Oracle Radio for you in a few minutes, and it is seasoned with a little PCT through hiking and a discussion of bookmarks, among other things. So first, though, let's catch up. We've been having some construction done around our house, and a couple areas of a slope were left scraped clean of its glacier lilies and sedges. That had me visiting one of our local nurseries, where I found some native plants that are happy on sunny slopes and can tolerate drought. The cashier asked me if I live in city limits. I don't, but if I had, the city would have reimbursed me for at least some of the cost of the native plants. So if you're shopping at a Bozeman nursery and you live in city limits, be sure to ask about this. You can find this and more rebates on the Bozeman Water Conservation Division website. There are some activities you might want to know about. Is bird watching and astounding scenery your thing? Well, on Sunday, June 11th, Tim Presso will be leading an Audubon group out along Spanish Creek through the Flying D Ranch to the edge of the Lee Metcalf Wilderness. This trip visits a variety of habitats and thus offers a mix of birds you might see. There is a 10-person or 4-car limit on this trip, so contact Tim soon at 406-600-3302 to sign up. You can find more scheduled birdwatching outings at sacagaweaaudubon.org under the Spring Birding Series tab at the bottom of the webpage. As they like to say, our weather has been unsettled lately, so some outdoor activities might be rescheduled. Just check in with the contact folks or go to the organization's website of these events to be sure you are up to date. And here's an update. Valley of Flowers chapter of Montana Native Plant Society has postponed the Kagi Road Cut weed pull due to the rain, and they will reschedule and send out a notice as soon as they get the all clear from the weather gods. If you're not already signed up to help out, you can call Sharon Eversman, 406-586-6788, to add your name to the list of volunteers. Valley of Flowers chapter has a Facebook page where you can also find more information. But right now, it's time for Desert Oracle Radio. This episode was produced by Ken Lane on May 19th, 2023, inspired by People Getting in Trouble and a Legend. It is titled, Through Hiking with Tockwitz. Enjoy!
Transmitting from the Mojave Wilderness in Joshua Tree, California, now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the desert, and somewhere somebody's getting in trouble. Behind the Denny's and 29 Palms, or in your sister's PT Cruiser up on Antenna Hill, or early in the still dark morning on the dirt road back around the big stucco church. Wow. Why'd she tie that green ribbon around the Joshua tree straight across the road? Why, the old asphalt washed away 3 storms ago. Last week on the program, our friend Jean-Paul Garnier from Space Cowboy Books joined us to talk about space radio and the joy of pushing what's possible. And you can find that in our radio show archives, our podcast archives, as episode 188. And I heard from a couple of people on the chat line asking about whether it's even a real place, Space Cowboy Books. And yes, it's a real place. You can go there. But it really is in this back alley and a cluster of strange old buildings on the main drag in Joshua Tree. It's like something out of Harry Potter or something. Weird little trolls poking their heads out from behind the books, you know? Magic in the air. But also lots and lots of sand that real fine sand that likes to blow across 29 Palms Highway all the time. It sneaks in under the door at the edges of the windows. And the Magic Bookstore is between I don't know what those shops are exactly. There's a leather shop and a taxidermist behind the old coin collector's store. Whatever happened to that place anyway? Many years ago, when Desert Oracle was just getting off the ground, I was poking around that cluster of buildings there looking for some office space, a little newsroom where people could come in and buy a classified ad. I guess like they do on Facebook now, where you can find cars with the VIN numbers scraped off. Cash only, you know? Meet at the intersection late at night. People are selling dogs. You can get a dog that can still enjoy the blessings of fatherhood, if you know what I mean. That's sort of an underground movement. Anyway, I'm poking around those buildings over by where Jean-Paul's shop is now. And I meet this character who says, I've got just the right spot, the old psychiatrist's office. And I said, that sounds fine, thinking it must be in pretty good shape to hold a psychiatrist and all the framed diplomas and the continuing education certificates. But this place was a total wreck. And it was full of mismatched beds. And I said, Larry, what kind of psychiatrist was this anyway? Well, it looks like a low-end bordello shut down by the health department after a syphilis epidemic. Well, he just grins and says, county health doesn't come all the way up here, you know that. It turns out all these guys milling around were living in there while they supposedly did construction work in the neighboring office, I guess. The neighboring storefront. I maneuvered through the rooms full of beds, hoping that nothing was jumping onto me as I squeezed by. And then I was blinking in the blinding sunlight again and wondering if maybe I should try this all over. Someplace else. Maybe in Bisbee. Maybe Silver City. My buddy's sister-in-law used to live out there. Maybe she was still around. Do you like to receive secret mail at your hideout or in your post office box? Well, you are in luck because Desert Oracle is the pocket-sized periodical all about the mysterious desert lands. Available by subscription directly to you, and only your mail carrier will know that you've received a plain white envelope from Joshua Tree. There is no way to discern what's inside. You are entirely safe in this regard. Unless, of course, you sort of stare hard through the envelope and then you can sort of make out the yellow cardstock cover. Whatever's on the front right now. Some kind of sinister coyote glaring over its shoulder at you. Get 4 issues published a little more regularly than I could manage during the pandemic years. With the all-new Desert Oracle number 10 sent straight to you by first-class mail. And number 11 due in late summer. No kidding. God willing. All I've got to do is type it up, lay it out, find the secret stories, make a mysterious new cover, take the pictures, edit the letters, pick an animal for our desert friends, etc. And it's out the door on its way to you. Order online at desertoracle.com or send a check or money order for $50 to Desert Oracle, P.O. Box 1735, Joshua Tree, California. If you do order, let me know if you want to start with the current issue, number 10, or the autumn issue, if you've already got a copy of number 10. There's a little thing on the order form. A pull-down menu. Just pull it on down. Now, we make no claims about a supposed new lease on life or good luck that might come as a magical side effect of having Desert Oracle sent to your home address. Whatever happens once the pocket-sized periodical reaches you, that's between you and Saint Minerva. All I can promise legally is a fresh copy of our beautifully printed and perfect bound issue number 10 with tales of, let's see. Oh, tales of the unwanted Christ of Yucca Valley. tales of a soldier who lost his mind in the Utah desert after seeing something inexplicable. It came out of the sky. There are coyotes and mountain lions and lots of interesting dead people who can't embarrass themselves on social media because they've passed on. Post Office Box 1735, Joshua Tree. Use the new zip code to get your letter to us even faster. 92252. Speaking of the post office, I got a postcard a couple of weeks ago that I was going to read on the air. And then the postcard disappeared. And then I found it in this book I've been reading. I don't know how anybody else reads books, but I've got a dozen or so going at all times. A couple bouncing around in the back of the truck. And they tend to eat up any bookmark-sized object because there are never enough bookmarks. You know when you go to your local bookseller and they graciously give you one single bookmark? Well, what about the rest of your books? Now and then, a book will have the fancy printing and binding with a beautiful imitation silk ribbon that you use as the bookmark, even though it's hard to get to the actual page, because both the ribbon and the pages themselves are so thin and wispy. I don't know how many Bibles I've had to throw away because I end up tearing those rice paper pages. And the act of trying to furiously reopen the thing to whatever had delighted or horrified me on the Sunday previous. Let's see if I can find the postcard. Here we go. It's from Idlewild, California. Idlewild, California, home of the majestic idle beast, says the picture side of the postcard. And the photograph part of the picture postcard shows somebody in a Chewbacca the Wookiee fursuit posing like the Bigfoot on the novelty road crossing sign. That's on a telephone pole instead of a road sign pole, but the written side of the postcard goes like this. Greetings from mile 190.5 on the Pacific Crest Trail. So far, I have hiked from Campo, California to near Mount San Jacinto. The plant diversity in Anza Borrego State Park was brilliant. My favorite soundtrack for my hike has been Desert Oracle, Thanks for What You Do, and is signed Chantel, is that how you pronounce that? C-H-A-N-T-E-L, Chantel, Chantel. Let's say Chantel. 10 April, 2023. Chantel, Chantel, I wonder where you are tonight. It has been a month and 10 days since you mailed this postcard from Idlewild. And I do hope that monster did not put an early end to your Pacific Crest Trail adventure, as so often happens. Not the Chewbacca, but the real monster up there, the Tuckwitz. For those of you unfamiliar with this important part of the natural history and religion of the Southern California mountains, let's just look it up on Wikipedia and see what those godless spoil sports have to say about it. Just the introduction. Tuckwitz, Tuckwitz, sometimes Tuckits, is a spirit found in the legends of the Coahuila, the Luiseno, and the Kumai Native American people of Southern California. Accounts of the legend vary significantly, but most agree that Tuckwitz represents evil or death, and his spirit makes its home on Mount San Jacinto. Some accounts report that he steals people and or their souls and devours them on the mountain. Tuckwitz manifests himself in the form of fireballs, lightning, meteors, and thunderous sounds on the mountain and in the canyons. Well, that's pretty good. That's fairly accurate. One way to make the godless nerd Wikipedia editors leave a supernatural tale alone is to make sure it has the history of a well-known religion or indigenous culture attached to it. Because then they just don't have the guts to say it's all malarkey. Because that would be intolerant. Plus, they lack the conviction of their unbelief. That's why a lot of these Wikipedia editors spend most of their time rewatching bonus DVDs from corporate superhero movies. Because they believe in their heart that the Ant-Man or whoever is a real thing, hiding under their futon, or fighting a tarantula with a safety pin. Because different tribes and different communities within those tribes had many variations of the word when the Europeans arrived, they recorded many different written versions from the 1700s through the beginning of the 20th century, when the 1898 and 98 U.S. Geological Survey of the lands around Mount San Jacinto was completed and the spelling was standardized. Because the monster's name shows up all over these mountains, over several enormous California counties of today, Riverside, San Bernardino, Orange County, San Diego County. But on the old maps, you still see these variations. Tuckwitz. 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 And Tuckwitz. 3 mountain peaks, several canyons and creeks, plus a waterfall, and that haunted spot at the shady headwaters of the Santa Margarita River, where Temecula and Murrieta Creeks merge and where the tribes would not make camp under any circumstances. For that was the home of the Taqui, the hairy devils, as originally translated. And if you're wondering why people don't encounter the Taqui around Temecula these days, it might have something to do with the thousands of tract homes and the outlet malls and the ever-widening interstate that fills that whole valley now. But the Santa Margarita River, the middle course in particular, is preserved in a natural state through various conservation lands. A lot of it managed by San Diego State University's ecological branch. And in the largely undisturbed backcountry of Camp Pendleton Marine Corps Base. Rainbow trout, mile-wide stands of cottonwood trees, is very beautiful back there. But that's not where Chantel is. Chantel? If she made it out of Idlewild at all. I'd like to think she made it, and that she's enjoying her PCT adventure, like... Was it Renee Zelensky? No, Reese Witherspoon. Every year, about 700 people attempt to hike the PCT all the way from the Mexican border to wherever it ends, way up by Canada. It used to cut right through my little piece of forest land where I lived up by Lake Cuyamaca decades ago, and I always enjoyed coming across people on the trail, all loaded up with months of provisions and straining under heavy ancient backpacks of the 1980s. Well, I was just strolling around with a cold beer. It really used to puzzle people because my cabin was totally obscured and hidden in the pines and oaks above. Well, the PCT takes around 5 months to hike all the way through. Although people who run crazily the whole way, like Forrest Gump, can supposedly do it all in 2 months. Which hardly sounds like fun. So, Chantel, if you're still on the trail, you should be. Well, I want you to keep going if it's still worth the trouble. So I won't say how much longer you've got. Less than 5 months. Maybe you're a trail runner. Maybe you're already in Canada by now, where you can enjoy the health care insurance available to everybody up there. They'll get you all fixed up, so the blisters closed and everything. 2,650 miles end to end. Congratulations to anybody who did the whole thing. Congratulations to anybody who tried, anybody who racked up some miles. To Zyzix and across the great Mojave Wilderness and beyond, you've been listening to Desert Oracle Radio with majestic desert soundscapes by Red, Blue, Black, Silver. And I'm your host, Ken Lane. We're on the air Friday nights, 10 p.m., KCDZ 107.7 on your FM dial. In the Mojave High Desert and beyond, KZMU in Moab. One day we'll do some sort of gumball rally or whatever, get people to drive out as far as they can still pick up the signal at a Joshua tree. We'll need Army personnel to do this up at Fort Irwin. Please let your superior officer know. Maybe a church group camping up at Hole in the Walls, a Methodist or something. Do they still have Methodists? I come from a long line of Methodist circuit riders. They'd go out in their black wool suits on horseback, congregation to congregation, a wife in every town. You can find our Desert Oracle periodical all over the high desert, issue number 10. I believe I've made all the deliveries to the retailers. As for the one with the sinister coyote on the cover, it's warming up and we're already missing some tourists. Missing tourists already making the news. So do be careful when you're wandering around our world-famous natural desert gardens. And the trails are crowded with all kinds of critters, so watch out. I came right up on a big desert tortoise just yesterday. Lots of rattlesnakes. And a very pretty, what I thought was a California king snake, but our local snake wrangler, Rattlesnake Kate, said it was a rare coloration of a long-nosed snake. So there you go. Don't step on the snakes. Good night from the voice of the desert.
Okay, I just can't resist bringing up the unexplained. The Idaho State Journal listed Montana as number 5 in a list of sightings of Bigfoot per capita. Maybe it is more important to you that people go missing in our national parks. Yellowstone National Park has 3 people still listed as missing since 1992. And according to the book, Death and Survival in Glacier National Park, at least a dozen people there have gone missing and were never found since 1913. In a national park or a national forest, whether you are setting out for a day hike or a backcountry roam, please be safe out there. Let someone know your plans. Learn to use a compass, not just GPS. And now that the subject of mystery and unexplained has come up in this episode, I have a few first-hand accounts for you.
So there are a lot of things that have happened in my life that I cannot explain, but the one that really stands out to me is when my friend and neighbor, Eileen, was dying. And she had had a stroke, comprehensive, you know, really massive stroke, and was hospitalized for 3 days before she died. And right toward the end of it, they transferred her from the hospital to a nursing home here in town. And so they had moved her. She was unconscious the whole time. And they moved her into this room that was basically cleared out. It was just ready for whoever the next occupant was going to be. So that it had no decorations. It was just very simple furnishings. And various people came and went that evening, but Doug and I decided to stay. It just didn't seem right to leave. And so there was nobody knew for sure when she was going to die. But we ended up being there as she went through her dying process, which was a lovely experience, which is weird to say, but it was. And we ended up singing to her, and she was in this little bed, and I crawled in next to her and just wrapped my arm around her shoulder and talked to her and was explaining things, you know, telling her that it was okay to go and she could be with her daughter and you know, just the kinds of things you might say to the dying. And Doug was there too, and he got in on the other side, and so we were just kind of cradling her as she died. And after she died, my phone started talking. We were trying to think about who to get a hold of and send some messages out, and my phone kind of, the Siri voice came on, and it said, I'm sorry, I don't understand. I'm sorry, I don't understand. But we hadn't asked it to do anything. It just said it on its own. So I looked at Doug, and he looked at me. Our eyes were pretty wide, and I looked at Eileen lying there, and I thought, well, maybe she needs to have this explained to her. So I just said, Eileen, you had a big stroke. You're dying. You know, it's time to go, and you can leave, and we're here with you, and everybody loves you so much, and you know, we'll take care of your husband, Don, and you can go. And I just said, you know, whatever came to me to say to her, and try to explain that, you know, you might feel confused, but it's okay. You can go on. And I stopped and took a breath, and Doug looked at me, and I looked at him, and my phone said, can you please repeat that? And so I did. My phone has never done that before or since. That had to have been Eileen talking to me through the phone.
Thank you. I'm talking to Wayne Porter, who is the sculptor responsible for the Porter Sculpture Garden in South Dakota. And I'm asking him today, since I'm on the road, does he have any stories about something unexplained happening in his life?
I don't tell this story because if somebody told it to me, I wouldn't believe them. But here we go. I was going to bed earlier with my brother. He was coming back from Minneapolis. I wasn't going to see him till morning. When I woke up, I started telling my brother about this really screwy dream I had. I was trying to train my sister to ride a red giraffe in a pole barn with pigs squealing around her feet. His eyes bugged out. He finished the rest of my dream for me. No, I have never seen Bigfoot. My running theory on this, I know every thought one has is electrochemical reaction. So I'm thinking it has something to do with electrical impulses. That's my best running theory.
How old were you, and how old was he when this happened?
I was an adult. He was an adult. He had a job in Minneapolis. We might have been in our 20s.
And so you were separated by an amount of miles
happened? No, he came home from Minneapolis. Oh. He was in the next bedroom.
Oh, okay.
I understand now strange things can happen, and I don't tell it because, again, nobody would believe me if I told it to him. Yeah. They would ask me if I'm looking for Loch Ness Monster next.
Thank you.
So my name is Randall Lejeune, and this story happened to me in 1970 in Colorado. My sister and brother-in-law owned some land above Boulder, above Ward, Colorado, on Ute land. Ute Indians had been up there for years, centuries. And so the family had a cabin up there, and we'd go up quite a bit while I was growing up. So we went up one Friday night, spent a couple, Friday, Saturday night, and Sunday morning about 10 o'clock, I said I was going for a walk, like I had always done, many, many, many times. So behind the cabin, up the mountain, on top of the mountain, was a rock outcropping known as Superstition Rock. And I loved to go up there. It was probably quarter mile, half a mile up the mountain behind the cabin. So I told my sister that I was going to go up there, took my little notebook to write some poetry, and she said, okay, well, be back by 11:30 noon, or right in there, because lunch will be ready. It's like, okay. So up the mountain I go. It's beautiful, beautiful fall day, my favorite time of the year. So I go up, and I'm sitting on my nice warm rock, and I wrote a couple poems and just enjoyed the smells and the sounds of the little animals around, and it was great. And then I started to get hungry. So, well, time to go down the mountain. But then I hear all the vehicles down by the cabin, somebody's blowing the horns on the trucks and the cars and just frantically. And I thought, there must be an emergency. So I kind of went a little faster, got down the mountain. And here, Don and Linda and their friends, they were all outside. They were frantic, honking these horns. And I was like, what's going on? And my sister said, where have you been? I said, well, I told you. I was going up to Superstition Rock, and then I'd be back by 11:30 or noon, you know, when lunch was ready. And she said, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which meant I had roughly 3 hours of missing time, which I cannot explain to this day. So that's my story. Thanks for listening.
Hi, my name is Carlton Lejeune, and I'm going to share a story with you from my youth in Southwest Louisiana. It was a Saturday night, and my friends and I were gathered at a local hangout and decided we're going to go and explore a phenomena that we heard about. My hometown, Jennings, Louisiana, is on the old Spanish Trail, which is Interstate 10 now, and of course was Highway 90 before. But originally, it wandered when the Spaniards would go from California to Florida carrying treasures. So we decided to go down this road where we had heard that you could hear mules braying at night, and none of the farmers had any mules. So off we went. We went, parked ourselves on that road, and waited to hear. It was midnight. And lo and behold, there appeared a huge green light on the road ahead of us, and it was coming towards us and getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and we decided we need to get out of there. We tried to start the car and it wouldn't start. The light passed over us, engulfed us, and went away the other way. The car then started and we drove away and never went back to that road again. I don't know if it's a weird phenomena, but it sure did scare us.
My thanks to Kelly Madigan, Wayne Porter, and Tex and Randa Lejeune for their stories. Remember, I would love to hear your stories of unexplained or anything. I want to thank you, Gallatin Valley, for listening. And as always, you can call me and leave a message about anything on your mind. The number is 406-404-6246. Remember to spread the word that you can hear this program on the air at 95.9 FM, Bozeman Community Radio, or you can stream it online at kgvm.org at 7 p.m. Sunday and 9 a.m. Monday. You can also listen on demand to all Desert Oracle radio replay shows on the kgvm.org webpage. Just go to the homepage and scroll down to the environment section. Click on Desert Oracle Radio Replay, and you'll see all the shows we have done so far. Click on the number of any episode to play it. Thanks again to Bob Wall and KGVM for getting this set up. Well, that's about it for today. So, till next time, listeners, be safe, stay well, and sweet dreams. I'm going to revisit that Iris DeMent song, Let the Mystery Be, to take us out. What's your favorite song about mysteries?
Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worrying about where they're gonna go when the whole thing's done. what and where they all came from. Everybody is worried about where they're gonna go, and the whole thing